NYRA analyst Maggie Wolfendale Morley. She's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, good morning, and looking forward to seeing all the action up there today, but certainly looking forward to seeing New York bred Diversify strut his stuff, because when he's on his game, he's really, really good.
He's kind of a cool, almost, if you will, throwback horse where I Rider Keys has finally figured out. I feel like we've come into this era of jockeys who always feel as though it's best to rate and to, you know, really kind of have a target. And you know, you go back and you watch races from yesteryear, and they were sending, and those horses responded. And I Rider Keys has figured out that Diversify is one of those horses that responds so well to the faster he goes, the better he becomes, and the harder he is to catch. And he really wants to just be up in the bridle. And really a great job by Rick Violet, as well as his assistant trainer, Melissa Cohen, to keep this horse in top form. He's a five-year-old gelding, and his last two races have been absolutely sensational, which have been partnered with the fact that IRAD has really figured him out now.
Is there anybody else in here, Maggie, that can put some pressure on him early and keep him company so he doesn't get out there to an easy lead and just walk to the finish line?
Well, obviously, there's Thunder Snow and Mendelsohn who do their best running when up front, but neither of them are fast enough. And it's not like Diversify has to carve out, quote-unquote, easy or soft fractions. He can go very fast and still have a lot left in the tank, and this is his home track. I mean, here at Belmont, he's never been worse than second, and he's won some of his best races here, including the Suburban. I mean, going a mile and a quarter into the three quarters in 109.3, that is flying, and he still wins by 6.5 lengths. He just is better when he goes that fast, and I just really don't think that Thunder Snow and Mendelsohn are going to be fast enough to stay with him, and nor do I think they have the talent in this kind of arena. They are horses. Look, Thunder Snow, he won the Dubai World Cup, speed dominating kind of track that day, and it was in his backyard, and Saeed Bensoor and Godolphin Racing. Saeed Bensoor is here, though, in New York, so that's always fun to see, and obviously speaks of his kind of confidence in his horse as well. And Mendelsohn, look, he ran well last time in the Travers, but this is his first start against older horses, and that race, too, with Catholic Boy, they both ran 1-2 around the racetrack, so I don't think he's gonna get the kind of comfortable type of setup that he had last time in the Travers.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to look like a turf race where the horses sitting second and third are going to have a nice hold and look for a big finish. I
mean, right, exactly.
you were talking about the faster he goes, the better he is. I mean, arguably the Suburban was the best race he's ever run, and on the Brisnet scale, he got 132 for that 109 and change fraction. Horses just don't run, you know, 132 for three quarters and then end up winning by 6.5. It just doesn't happen. That race was like an out-of-body experience. I mean, it was incredible. So I
know, it absolutely was. I was blown away, Jude, by that. And I didn't love him in the paddock. I kind of was eating humble pie after that race. But, you know, maybe it is a bit of a factor of the horses he was facing. But look, last time he faced Mind Your Biscuits, yeah, Mind Your Biscuits may have not loved a mile and an eighth, but he is a multiple graded stakes winner. And going back to the Suburban, yeah, it may have been relative to the field he was facing, but still, to crush like that, I mean, it was more of a race for him against the clock than anything, and he destroyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we all have those friends that they don't even look good in a tuxedo, you know. So he's one of those horses. He's kind of a blue-collar horse. He doesn't
Correct.
Really – not a lot of flash to him or anything, and but he just goes out there and runs. I love him. I think he's fantastic.
I truly do, too. He's totally made me a Diversify fan this year.
Who's the most likely upsetter in the Jockey Club Gold Cup if Diversify were to stub his toe today, Maggie?
I know I'm kind of jumping on the bandwagon here, but Gronkowski. He's run his best race here at Belmont, going a mile and a half. I mean, I know it's a mile and a quarter here today, but if he does get any sort of pace to come back to him, which I'm not saying that will happen with Diversify, then he does feel like the horse that you know, is a likely upsetter. I wouldn't even count Patch out of the mix. His two best races have come here at Belmont, going long, and you know, he's not a that talented of a horse, but at least he's kind of got that horse for course kind of feel. And I mean, third, last, going back to the Belmont of last year, you know, why not? Why not kind of throw him in if anything comes back to anybody? I really don't feel as though, you know, the trackers, as you were saying, Jude, of Mendelsohn and Thundersnow are going to be at their best kind of sitting behind Diversify.
Well, as our friend Larry Colmus would say, Patch will have his eye on the prize today in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. With a one-eyed horse, Patch will have that one eye squarely focused on the finish line. We'll see if he can pull off a bit of a shocker later today. That's the Jockey Club Gold Cup. It is part of an afternoon that features four graded stakes races at Belmont. Three of those are grade ones, three winning your in events. And we are joined by Maggie Wolfendale-Morley, who is the analyst at NYRA. Maggie, let's talk about the others. Let's talk about the Vosburgh, which will go as race number seven, 4:09 Eastern. What are the main storylines to look for here?
Is there anything really to talk about? Isn't it a walkover for Imperial Hint?
You tell me, is it?
Yeah.
100%. 1-5 on the morning line. He just towers over this group, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's not like he needs the lead. It's not like he's compromised in any way as far as his running style. Now, maybe the only thing I can say is that sometimes when we have a drying out track, which it's likely to be here today at Belmont, is sometimes that rail and speed become very dangerous. And in that case, maybe a horse like Still Crazy possesses a upset chance in here. But Imperial Hint is a grade one winner facing claimers in reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Still Crazy was just claimed for $32,000. I mean, if he beats Imperial Hint, it might be time for me to retire.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Maggie, maybe the Turf Classic is a little bit more, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic is a little bit more interesting then. Not a massive field here either. It's only a field of, what, eight horses set to go.
Eight.
How about that race?
Well, I mean, Todd has said that he will likely scratch High Happy, given the course condition. And look, we only have, you know, the Pilgrim Turf Classic and the sixth race on the turf here today, 1, 3, and 5 are off. It hasn't gotten a chance to dry out the entire month of September. So the likelihood that this will be listed as yielding is very high. And so Todd has said that High Happy will come out. So maybe you're only dealing with a field of seven. This is actually an interesting race. Maybe Robert Bruce just proves to be best. That could very well happen. But and does Robert Bruce, we'll see if he gets better going a mile and a half. You know, for me, at least looking at him from the physical perspective, isn't a horse that automatically strikes you as one that a mile and a half is his ideal kind of distance. And it's not as if he's a kind of pace compromised horse either. I think he just runs his race no matter what. You have Teodoro, who's 15-1 on the morning line, making his first start in the States. And he actually had dinner with the owners last night, and he's going to lead. There's no question about it. He's going to be your pace setter. And, you know, on a course like this, that could be dangerous, a horse up on the front end. And then you have all those horses coming out of the Sword Dancer, in which Glorious Empire ran extremely well, but it was the typical, you know, inner turf track up at Saratoga where speed is just lethal. And he took full advantage of that. Channel Maker, it's so funny watching that race back, because what a juxtaposition of horses and the way they run. Glorious Empire is bounding along on the lead, head low, just striding out. And there's Channel Maker running like a giraffe. I think Channel Maker is obviously his worst enemy. A lot of times he runs with his head up in the air. It doesn't look like he ever wants to win. And in reality, does he really? I mean, he dead heated the one time he had full aim on Glorious Empire. So in other words, I think we're dealing with maybe a little bit more of a fair scenario here at Belmont. And Spring Quality, he's run very well here at Belmont, too. And even I hate talking about Tom, my husband's horses, but Garrick, look, it's all about the distance with this horse. When he was kind of, and look, he's developed very fast. When he was breezing before he even ran, he was doing most of his breezing down the backside after his, you know, timed workout from pole to pole. So the distance is really going to be his friend in here. And he's handled horses that have a little bit of give. I'm not sure about this much give. Guys, I honestly think I don't really have that strong of opinion in here. It could just be Robert Bruce's race to lose, or you can make a case for any one of these horses.
Well, we had Tom on yesterday, and talked to him for quite a while. He was a real fun interview, and I know he's pretty high on Carrick, and he makes a good point. I told him I feel like Carrick's the poor man's Justify. He's had a meteoric rise to stardom, only four races. Now he's, you know, trying to win his second Grade One, and he certainly has a big chance to do it. I mean, Tom gave a very poignant case for Carrick to win. One of the main things is the given the ground, which he seems to love.
I know. You know, it's the given the ground, the only one that's really proven that absolutely loves it. I don't even know if you could say that, but that certainly handles it is possibly Sadler's Joy. But yeah, I mean, Carrick, what has he done to say that he doesn't? You know, three good listed races and he's undefeated on them.
Yeah.
Talking with Maggie Wolfendale-Morley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence. Maggie, just a minute or two before we have to wrap this up and get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but want to make a bit of an announcement here. We haven't talked about this on the program yet, but you are going to be joining our broadcast team for our exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage on November 2nd and 3rd. All of that race coverage only heard on radio here on the network, and we are really happy to have you as part of our broadcast team. It'll be a lot of fun to get you in the mix.
Oh, I'm so excited as well. You know, a lot of these horses, they prep in New York, and I'm very familiar with them, so I'll be very excited to kind of share whatever insight I can provide on your network.
And you are such a pro. You had your daughter, Grace, in the background during this interview.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, you were not the least bit distracted. That was outstanding. Well done.
Thank you. I just had to run to the TV and put Daniel Tiger on.
Mom tricks.
Exactly.
Well, Maggie, go enjoy the afternoon. Good luck with your selections today, and looking forward to catching up with you in a very short time here in the Bluegrass with all that Breeders' Cup coverage.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it so much, guys. Thank you for having me on today.